from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I am Kyle Madsen. And we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will be rocking with you until 4 o'clock. I want to remind you that Game 3 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow, and we'll have it here for you on ESPN 1320 with coverage beginning at 4:30. What are you laughing at? What's funny?
Drew Down.
Oh, about the Joey Chestnut stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, pause is aplenty right now in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Would love for you to join us there. But shout out to everybody listening on the free Odyssey app as well as ESPN 1320. That's 1320 AM on your radio dial. Yeah, Joey Chestnut, an American
icon,
legend.
Yes.
One of our finest athletes. Is out of this year's 4th of July Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest because of an endorsement deal he has with a rival brand, Impossible Meats.
What?
Yeah.
You had to know when you were signing up for an endorsement deal that it was going to cost you.
So according to the New York Post, they're all over this. First of all, elite headline writing from the New York Post here.
Oh.
It says, stand by. Joey Chestnut banned from 2024 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest in beef over vegan Franks. Like, come on. That is just incredible stuff from the New York Post. No, but Joey Chestnut basically has an endorsement deal, from what I understand in my brief reading of this story, that he has an endorsement deal with the Impossible brand, who makes, you know, plant-based burgers and hot dogs and stuff, and would not represent the Nathan's brand. And Nathan's, so he made $200,000 last year, according to the Post, to participate in the 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Joey Chestnut did.
Yep.
They offered him a 4-year contract worth $1.2 million. Nathan's did. And I'm guessing this deal he has with Impossible Meats is
worth more than $400,000?
Significantly more.
Mm.
That would be my guess anyway. If you're punting on the biggest event, the eating event that everybody knows about for this endorsement deal, he's got to be making way more money.
You know, the crazy thing is how long he's been on the scene and how he somehow has survived this long with the eating habits that he has.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how, like, how do you do that to yourself again and again and again? Like, just violently eating. Like, what's his record? Like 75 hot dogs?
It's a lot. It's a lot of dogs.
And then the chicken wings. He does all of the eating things, right?
I don't want to do this right now, but if you go to Joey Chestnut's Wikipedia page, the list of eating competitions that he's, I mean, pies,
pop,
and
I saw
pizzas.
Him, ice cream. I saw him in an ice cream eating.
Ice cream. Wild.
Wow. Anyways. All right.
Apparently when he eats It's very normal. I have a friend who's, he's a friend of a friend.
Oh.
Apparently he's not like at dinner, they go to pizza. He's like, I need 4 extra large pizzas and I need them 6 minutes before you close.
I just wonder what it's done to like his body.
I don't want to know.
I don't either.
Frankly.
Yeah.
I doubt it's healthy, but he's fine. He's like an in-shape guy.
Okay.
But anyways, I don't know. Don. No longer participating in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest is Joey Chestnut. Your thoughts?
Oh, I'm shocked and upset.
That would be too.
This is a national just tragedy. This is terrible.
I completely agree.
When I think of July 4th and I think of USA, I think of Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Hey, quick question, guys. If in honor of Joey Chestnut, if you was in a hot dog eating contest, how many do you think you could eat? I think I'd take down 3 glizzies.
That's an insane thing to say. I'm going to cut that. I just put a little marker on that to cut it. If I had, what is it, a minute? And you get, it's just bun and dog and water.
They get more than a minute, don't they?
Is it 2 minutes?
No, because they're eating like 75.
5 minutes?
Yeah, it's got to be like, I think it's 8 minutes.
Whatever it is, I don't know. I don't get dialed into the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was in that contest, if 70-ish is the range, I think I could do 10.
Yeah.
I think I could comfortably, because at some point, you're eating the food item quickly at first. But I think once you get like 3 or 4 down really quickly, I think the pace is going to slow significantly. Because you're not training for this. You're not
no.
dialed in. You know how to do. There's like an art to it. And there are muscles that you need to have strengthened that I do not have strengthened. And yeah, I think 10. I think 10 is a good number. I think 8 minutes is right. I think 10.
Okay. Yeah, I think
10 minutes per Bryce.
Yeah, but we got all kinds of different minutes, like up and down. Like, when I was young, I could, like, I won an ice cream eating contest when I was young.
That's big time. I didn't know you were such a high level athlete.
I could probably, like, 15. I can eat pretty fast. I don't know.
Okay, so you can.
But I'm not going to try for some record. And. Like, I'm probably going to want to hurl afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. I've been thinking about going to a River Cats game and trying to do the 9x9 challenge.
Oh?
9 hot dogs and 9 beers in 9 innings. But that's 9 hot dogs in 9 innings, and that feels like a lot. That's like 2.5 hours. And you're taking down 9 hot dogs. Pause.
I don't think it would, like, it wouldn't be appealing after like the second or third one. You'd be like, I don't think I want another
hot
dog.
Right.
Like, at least bring me a nacho. Let's mix it up.
Yeah. No doubt. Are you talking about at the hot dog eating contest or are you talking about at the baseball game?
At a baseball game.
Oh yeah, no, it's part of the appeal.
Okay.
Is you gotta, I'm with you, but that's part of like, it's supposed to be kind of gross.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a little outlandish.
It's
gonna
wild.
Try it. Right. Joey Chestnut, not in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest this year. Sorry if that affects anybody's 4th of July plans.
So disappointing.
Anyways, here's what Shaquille O'Neal said yesterday. There's one point I want to make on this.
Yeah, I think if you're worried about useless titles, you know, when I was young, I worried about useless titles. But when I stopped worrying about useless titles, start winning championships. In my Laker runs, I wasn't the best player on the team. I knew that, but I knew I was the most dominant. So I knew my role. I knew what I had to do. I wasn't worried about a useless title. So if those two young gentlemen are worried about useless titles, who's the best on the team, whose team it is, it will definitely affect them tonight.
That's Shaquille O'Neal on NBA TV talking about Jason Kidd saying that Jaylen Brown was the best player on the Celtics. Shaq was the best player on those Lakers teams. I get what he's doing. I get what the comparison he's trying to make. And I get his overarching point is it doesn't matter. But Shaq was their best player.
Yeah,
let's keep it a stack.
There were players on that team that could dribble the ball better than him, that could shoot the 3-point shot better than him.
Definitely.
But just the sheer dominance made him such the focal point. Like every team in the league had to game plan 100% for him. And then after that, it's like, okay, we got to try to stop Kobe. And like that's why Rick Fox and Derek Fisher get wide open looks. It's not Robert Horry. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're bad players, but they're role players on a team with two like incredible superstars. Still, Shaq is the most dominant physical athlete that I think any sport has ever seen. Like sheer like height, yes. weight, ability, yeah. like at in his prime. Holy cow. Like what that guy could do on a court was incredible. And like I think he could have dominated in football. I think he could have dominated in just about anything that he did. He's just a tremendously gigantic human being. And all you had to do was like you had to game plan 100% with how to stop him from just dunking on you every time down.
In those three seasons, Shaquille O'Neal was the MVP and then finished third in the MVP voting the next 2 years. He was first-team All-NBA in all three seasons. He was second-team All-Defense in the first two seasons. He was an All-Star all three seasons. He was second in Defensive Player of the Year voting in the first year and eighth in Defensive Player of the Year voting in the second year. This is during the Lakers' three consecutive titles. And over that time, he averaged 28.6 points, 12.4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and 2.6 blocks per game while shooting 57.5% from the field.
Yeah. He was really
good. Come on. So I get what he's doing. Yeah. I understand that that's not the point, but also he was their best player.
Yes.
I just thought it was very, very clear. It is much, to me anyway, it's much less clear who's better between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I don't think there will be as stark of a contrast in 15 years when we look back on this.
Well, I would agree too. And part of it is because one of them is not 7'1", 300 pounds. And the other guy, you know, is 6'6" and... Yeah. You know, 195, yeah. like that's just not so like comparing two guys that are similar in stature
yeah.
and everything is it's going to be much more difficult down the road.
1,000%.
But I also I think there could come a point like if you see Jaylen Brown win a couple of titles here where it's like, hey, I got to venture out on my own. I got to show that I'm not Scotty, that I'm MJ.
Sure.
And it's like, OK, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
I just wanted to, all due respect to Kobe. Kobe had his run as the best player in the league and he won a couple of titles without Shaq, no doubt. But those 3 years specifically,
yeah,
Shaq was their best player. I just agree. Wanted to get that out there.
I'm with
Doug
you.
Told me one time at NBC that the reason Shaq didn't, I was like, how did he not average 40 and 30? And he's basically, because he doesn't want to hurt anybody. He was just too nice of a guy. So instead he averaged 30 and 12.
Wild.
Ridiculous. Anyways. Good idea or bad idea. Three things going on in the news. We tell you whether it's a good idea or bad idea. Coming up next, you can play along at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320 as well. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's crazy.
Legend.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Yeah, if you missed it, big news in the sports world today. Joey Chestnut not participating in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest because of a dispute over an endorsement he has with a different company. A vegan company.
Mm.
So, no Joey Chestnut this year. I don't know any other professional eaters.
Well, Kobayashi used to be
been
huge.
Gone. But been dead.
Yeah.
Not dead, but like retired.
Yeah, retired. The Kobayashi
that's
shake.
Crazy. Yeah. I'm so sorry to him and his family. That's a wild thing to say about somebody. yeah.
I think I take down three glizzies.
Okay. Yeah. No, we got it. All right. Good idea or bad idea? Good idea. Jumping on the radio and saying this.
I think I take down three glizzies.
Bad idea.
Bad idea.
Three things happening in the sports world or just in the world, not necessarily the sports world, but three things happening in the world. We tell you whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. The first thing, is this a good idea or a bad idea? Not proposing this trade, but just the trade in general. A Bleacher Report had a trade idea. And I think it's important to distinguish this time of year, a reported trade offer versus a just rando idea.
Yeah, trade rumor versus, hey, I'm going to throw up.
I'm going to slap together the trade machine and see what I can come up with.
Exactly.
So Bleacher Report had a trade idea of the Pelicans sending Brandon Ingram, Larry Nance, and Milwaukee's 2027 first to the Timberwolves for Karl Anthony Towns. Good idea or bad idea?
I'm going to say bad idea.
I agree.
Like, I have not been the biggest Karl Anthony Towns fan throughout his run here in the NBA, but I kind of want to see Minnesota in year two. Mm, I want to see what Minnesota has this next time around, and I want to see if they make an adjustment here or there to sort of change who they are and develop a little bit more. I think Anthony Edwards is going to be better. I think, you know, McDaniels is going to be better. I think Naz Reid is going to be better. And I think Kat is still, he's in his prime.
Yeah.
So I want to see it.
They're in, but I think that's the kind of deal that is, if Brandon Ingram's going to get moved, I think that's the kind of player movement we're going to see. But I'm with you on the Timberwolves specifically. Don't break this up yet. I look at the Timberwolves in a similar way that I looked at the Kings last year or mm-hmm. last offseason, where yeah, if you can improve at a spot, then go for it. But there's not some urgent need to start blowing up key pieces of the roster because you didn't make it to the finals. So yeah, that's where I'm landing on that. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a bad idea.
All right, number two. The 49ers still have not reached a deal with Brandon Ayuk. Good idea or bad idea to let this thing drag out to training camp?
I think it's a horrible idea. I think this summer should be about building and trying to defy the whole getting back to the Super Bowl thing.
Yep.
Like, this is tough. Your window is closing as a franchise. He's a guy who's going to be part of the next window. And so for me, like, I know it's difficult, but you waited this long mm-hmm. and all the big guys keep getting more and more and more money. That's on you. If you would have set the bar, you probably could have got him for $25-26 million, you know, a couple of months ago. Yeah. Now it's going to cost you 28 or 30. And that's because you waited.
Like, yep.
That's all there is to it.
Dude, that's 1,000% where I land on this. If Justin Jefferson hadn't gotten paid yet, and we were still waiting to see what a Devontae Smith deal and Amon-Ra St. Brown deal look like, then great. Then hold out.
Mm-hmm.
Wait to see what those do. But we see it now. We know what the range is. They're going to get there anyway. Why not just do it now?
Well, then it's too late to trade him or something. It's too late to do something dramatically different.
Right.
What are we doing?
That's the thing. The option is you have a disgruntled player playing on his fifth year option, which is a really bad look for the team, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're letting him walk next offseason for a third round compensatory pick and next in the following year's draft.
What are we doing?
Doesn't make any sense. I think they're going to get a deal done. They know it's going to be between $28 and $30 million a year. They know the ballpark of what the guaranteed money is going to look like. Just get it done.
What you can't have is him holding out and that dragging into preseason, regular season.
What I don't know what they're accomplishing by offering $26 million. That's what Mike Silver from the San Francisco Chronicle reported.
Yeah.
Their last offer was in the $26 million range. Get it up to 28 and then get it up. Know that you're going to 30.
Probably.
Bad idea at this point to continue this kind of standoff. Number three, USA Basketball actually came out and addressed why Caitlin Clark is not on the women's basketball team roster. Good idea or bad idea to respond to this public criticism and to explain why the roster was constructed the way it is?
I think it's a really good idea. Because you're trying to keep as many people engaged in this new sort of this growing mm-hmm. movement for the WNBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you want to, like, it's okay to not have her on the team. It is. I'm totally 100%. Fine with her not being on the team. But I also think that there are so many new fans that are going to be confused as to why. You know, mm-hmm. like, maybe invite her. Like, invite her, not to be on the team, but to be part of the traveling party. Like, maybe there's some other way to do this. But the fact that, you know, that one of the buzzy new people in the WNBA is not going to be part of it, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are players that deserve to be on that team for their years of service and how mm-hmm. well they've done for the sport. I mean, we were talking about Diana Taurasi earlier. She has an opportunity to win her fifth medal, which would be the most medal by any team sport athlete in the history of the Olympics.
It's an insane amount of medals.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you could say, well, you know, maybe there's a spot that could open up here or there. But like at the end of the day, Like, you need to earn that spot. Just like, you know, I always thought it was weird Christian Laettner was on the Dream Team. I did. I thought that that was very strange. But that's okay. Like, at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah, man. The discourse was getting out of control. And they needed to say something. Yeah, I'm with you. I want to finish this point first.
Yeah.
They needed to say something. Because the discourse was like, oh, you're trying to grow the game. And they basically, if you missed it, Team USA Basketball said, well, there are players who are more experienced, who have been in Olympics, whether it's 5-on-5 or 3-on-3, because that's a thing. Some 3-on-3 Olympians from last year are now on the 5-on-5 team. Mm. And there are players who have been in the WNBA for longer. Caitlin Clark is a huge part of USA Basketball going forward, just not this year. That's it. That explains it.
Yeah.
It's not something they're out to get her. It's not everybody hates her. It's not anything crazy like that. It's like, oh, you mean just the logical way to build an Olympic team? Okay, cool. 2028, you can bet your bottom dollar. Caitlin Clark will be on that team and very, very prevalent on that team.
Mm-hmm.
I got some breaking news from Shams Charania. Kristaps Porzingis suffered a, help me out here, a torn medial retinaculum, allowing dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon.
Okay.
Sounds like a knee injury.
It is a knee injury. Yeah, so this
I'm gonna become a doctor on Google real quick. Hang on.
This I was already there, and it's definitely a weird injury. So let me see. Tibial collateral ligament. Man, this is a
It looks like it's maybe connecting your thigh to your kneecap. Or there, it's something within the kneecap, maybe.
Yeah,
because yeah, I guess if it's a ligament, then it's bone to bone.
Yeah, this is not great. We don't know if he's going to be able to play or not. And I don't know if he's done for the series or if this is just a something he'll be able to fight through. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, something we can't fight through is this break. So we're going to hit a break. We will become doctors during the break and tell you what's going on with Kristaps Porzingis' knee, maybe, possibly. Coming up next on the Insiders Pod on ESPN 1320. Goodness gracious, Kyle.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Tom.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Did we get to the bottom of what's going on with Kristaps Porzingis?
I don't think we did.
So he injured his knee.
He did injure his knee.
It's not an ACL or an MCL or a PCL or a meniscus or anything like that. It is a new thing in the knee that I've never heard of before.
It's a rare injury. That's what we're learning.
I'm going to check and see if Dr. Nirav Pandya has tweeted about this.
Friend
of the
go.
Program, UCSF, associate professor of sports medicine. I'm sorry. He got a promotion, director of sports medicine.
Oh, okay.
At Benioff Children's Hospital.
Yeah, this is a very, very different type of injury. I don't know, like, what they're saying, it's a rare injury, and that makes sense because we haven't really seen something like this. Dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon in the left leg. So whatever, he tore something and it caused the dislocation of the tibia tendon, which is not good.
That sounds painful and like a thing that you're not going to be able to play on.
Yeah.
But did Joe Mazzulla rule him out?
No, he's listed officially as day-to-day. I think they're trying to figure out what this is.
Yeah, is it we can shoot him up with some pain meds and he's good to go, or can he blow up his knee all the way or something terrible?
Yeah, I think it's going to probably be risky, but, you know, we'll see. This is tough.
If he does not play... I would be so fascinated to see what that does to the Celtics and the Mavericks, because there was all this talk coming in of like, man, he's the X factor and he's going to this and that. What does his lack of presence do for Dallas? Does that change the way they can finish at the rim? Does that change the way they can defend Boston? I have no idea. I got nothing.
No, it definitely, I mean, this is what people were kind of concerned with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can Kristaps Porzingis hold up, and how much can he affect, you know, the actual play on the court?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this, though. Like, the Celtics are very, very used to playing without him, right? This is a player that missed most of the playoff run here.
Mm-hmm.
He two games in the first round?
I think he got hurt during the second game.
Yeah, and then in that series went five, so he missed three games there, five games the next, that's eight.
Four, so 12.
So this is a guy who hasn't played all that much. They know how to play without him. They have guys that are ready to step in, but I do think this opens a door for Derek Lively to be more impactful and for Daniel Gafford to be more impactful. It can change. It can change the series. Very interesting.
And this is a little bit different now with news of the Porzingis stuff, but I wanted to say this about this final series, because I've heard this on different talk shows and on different podcasts. I've heard it here on this station. I say I've heard it here on this station like that could be anybody. But we don't need to give the Mavs too much credit. We don't. It's okay to be like, hey, the Celtics are just putting together an all-time finals run, and the Celtics have been the best team in basketball all year, and they are just better than the Mavericks. That's okay. If they're going to beat Dallas in four or five games, that's not some referendum on Dallas as a team, or Luka, or Kyrie, or Maxi Kleber, or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just Boston's better. Dallas had a great run to get here. And it looks like, and again, we'll see what the Kristaps Porzingis injury does to this series, but it looks like to the first two games, like, yeah, you know what? Boston is just kind of the team that they were all year. They showed us time and time again, and everybody went, well, got to see it in the finals. Can they do it in the finals? Can they, will they not lay down and they get punched in the mouth in the final? Yeah, no, and they haven't. So we're here now, and the Mavs have had a really nice year. Things are trending up for them moving forward, but we don't have to sit here and lie and go like, well, you know, role players play better at home and Dallas could easily get the next two. And then it's a three game series. Like, okay. I mean, is that within the realm of possibilities? Is that on the table? Like, yeah, sure. But by assessing the first two games is, man, Boston is just way better. It's just what it is.
Kyle, I couldn't agree more. They are so the Celtics are so deep with talent at every single position.
Yeah.
They basically have an all-star at every single position. An all-star or an all-NBA defender.
Yeah.
And they just are better built than any team in the league.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Mavericks have got to this point, first of all, is a stunner. Yeah. This is a fifth seed that missed the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
They made some nice adjustments. Yep. They've grown organically throughout the season and become a much better squad. And somehow they made their way through the playoffs where other teams did not. But that doesn't change the fact that they're running into a buzzsaw. They're running into the best team in basketball, and it's not even close. And sure, you got two superstars. They could get hot. They could score 75 tonight combined, and Dallas could win.
Yep.
That doesn't change the fact that Boston is probably going to win the series, and that Boston is the better team.
Yeah. It's not, I think that because of the, like, the hot take culture where there's the two-tiered scale, right? Mm-hmm. On social media, you're either the GOAT or you're trash. There's no, when you say, well, he's not a top five guy, he's more like top 20 guy to me. It's like, wow, hating. Like I said, he was a top 20 player in the league. That's crazy. Do you know how many players there are in the league? And he's one of the 20 best?
Yeah.
And that's a compliment.
Yes.
So it's not, I think any critique or anything that's seen as negative against a team is viewed as this like, wow, you don't have to trash them. It's not trashing the Mavericks. It's watching the basketball and then talking about what has happened in the basketball. Nobody's saying the Mavs suck.
Nope.
Boston's just way better than everybody.
Yeah.
And it was clear all season. And we talked about it going into the finals. Like, hey, there's a real chance that we leave this final series going like, oh yeah, of course Boston won it in four or five.
Mm-hmm.
They were the best team the whole season. It's not rocket science.
Nope.
And it's certainly not dissing the Mavs.
No.
The Mavs have been incredible.
Yep.
I do think the Luka Kyrie best backcourt of all time is probably premature.
Yes, very.
that's a post hoisting the Larry O'Brien conversation. But I mean, aside from that, they're going to be in the mix next year. They've had a really good season. They were just overmatched in the series, and I think, frankly, I could see that happening with any team in the West.
Yeah,
that could have literally happened to anybody.
Yeah, I think anyone. We're probably learning at this point, watching the Celtics play. It may not have mattered.
I'm with you.
It may not have mattered at all who is in the finals against them.
And like I said, I'm not saying I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to be, you know, dialed in. And I'm frankly, I want more games. So moving forward, I am rooting for the Mavs to like tie this series, and then I'll be rooting for a game seven. That's my hope for this series. But like, dude, I don't.
Yeah,
I have no Mavs. What has happened in the first two games that makes you objectively say, oh yeah, they can get four of the next five.
Mm.
That's all. I'm not trying to trash them, run them over. Luka had a great year. Kyrie had a great year. PJ Washington, shout out. Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford. That's a Derek Jones. Really good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little career renaissance, but I mean, come on. Finals are over. let's keep it a stack. Speaking of over, this piece hit my Athletic notifications today.
Okay.
By CJ Moore of The Athletic. Wrote a really interesting piece that I disagree with. He posits that Dan Hurley's decision to return to UConn, turning down a 6-year, $70 million offer from the Lakers, is a sign that college basketball is not dead. Because, and I quote, this is from his piece, and again, I encourage you to go read it. He makes a compelling argument. Quote, there is not a better, more sustainable job in sports than a successful college basketball coach at a school where he has consistently won. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. But because you can look at Bill Self, you can look at Tom Izzo, you can look at the success that Mike Krzyzewski had, although did not coach in this current era as long. He's been out of there for a couple of years now at Duke. But I don't disagree with that necessarily. But the college basketball being dead or dying thing has nothing to do with coaches leaving for the NBA.
No.
At least not in my estimation. Maybe I'm way off base with this, but that's never been the reason that I've thought like, ooh, college basketball is kind of down.
You know, I kind of hope that the college basketball has a bit of a like renaissance here.
I would love it.
Especially with the money piping in and players actually making some more money. Maybe they'll stick around and get a little bit more of their education done and become a little more seasoned coming into the league. Mm-hmm. I think that would help everybody. You know, it'd put a better product on the floor at the NCAA level. It also helped the transition to the pros. It would help players coming into the league have a better foothold when they get here. They, mm-hmm. you know, more mature players actually typically do better in their first couple of years. So I would like to see that happen, but I don't know that it will. And it certainly, I don't think that Dan Hurley turning down the Los Angeles Lakers has anything to do with what's going on at the NCAA level, and it never will. Like, there have not been enough coaches to just up and leave the college game and go to the pro game to hurt the college game at all.
Yeah, man, it's the one and done stuff to me.
It is. It's,
like, that's
it. 100%.
And I don't begrudge it. I don't, I want to see guys getting to the league and chasing their dreams and getting their money.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a proponent of like, hey, if you're good enough to play in the NBA out of high school, then you should just get to go. And don't even waste a year in college.
Yeah.
But that's the reason behind all this. It's not, that's where my interest in college basketball has waned a lot, because yeah, I'm just not familiar with the dudes. Like, I'll get caught up at tournament time,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll read the pre-draft stuff, and I'll be all caught up on everything I need to know. That's kind of it. Like, that's where it lands for me. I'm not saying it has to land that way for you. If you're like, hey, I'm a huge college basketball guy, I went to UCLA and I will live and die with UCLA hoops for the rest of my life. Great. Fantastic. I as a person who doesn't have a favorite college basketball team, doesn't move me.
No, I get you. I'd also say like the AAU game has damaged both college and the pro game like a ton.
Yes.
Like the whole idea behind AAU of basically copying the model of the NBA and having stars be stars at age 8, it doesn't help.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's absolutely bizarre. Yeah. And not having kids get better. I think that there are some great college coaches that do nothing but focus on making their players smart, really complete basketball players. We
mm-hmm.
we joked around about, you know, the Villanova guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the Knicks making their run.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Jay Wright was an absolutely amazing teacher of basketball.
Yep.
You can see that those kids know how to play basketball. And then other guys, like I think John Calipari, to me, he's just really, really good at selling kids that he can get them to the NBA really quickly.
Yep.
And that, to me, he doesn't teach basketball. He teaches, you know, like you chain somebody to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
You got a dribble drive guy. Whether it's De'Aaron Fox or it's Derrick Rose or it's Tyrese Maxey or it's mm-hmm. Malik Monk or it's Tyreek Evans. It's the same guy.
Yeah.
In his system, you run at the rim and, you know, the dribble drive motion offense.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't get, he's not teaching basketball. There are some great teachers of basketball that are out there.
Yeah.
And I think that the NBA, the NCAA is better for it, and so is the NBA.
Eric Musselman at Arkansas. He's yeah. basically told his dudes, like, yo, we're doing NBA stuff.
Mm.
We're doing NBA coverages. We're doing an NBA offense. Like, you are going to learn how to play basketball here. And just like we're going to learn how to do radio because Damian Barling is in the building. It's time for the handoff.
Ooh.
Dude, I did not. You were full Richard Jefferson there. That was crazy.
Wait till 6 o'clock gets here. You might see my belly button by the time I get to Janet Jackson.
Oh, here
tonight.
We go. Come on.
I'm going to button it up one more for the show. But yeah, come 6 o'clock. You come by that KSFM 10 tonight. It's just going to be lower pecs and belly buttons.
That's
right. 104 outside, man. I'm hanging outside until Janet starts. Yeah, we ready, baby. Yes, sir.
Can I show you a thing that Happy Ass Lazy said on our show today?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I take down 3 glizzies.
All right, Lazy. I see you, boy.
Wow.
Hey. All right, Lazy.
That was,
it's been an interesting show for you guys. Wow.
It has been. Joey Chestnut not participating in the hot dog eating contest this year, which led to us talking about vegan meats and taking down meats and how many hot dogs could you eat and your throat muscles. And
wow.
It was a tough go.
This is a very eventful day on the Insiders.
It was.
Which suddenly has a new meaning to it. Man.
And did you hear about the Kristaps Porzingis injury? I know you were in a very important meeting.
Yeah. It's interesting.
So Tom Westerholm said they are not kidding when they called Porzingis injury rare. A 2006 study said there were just any links to the study said there were just 32 documented cases of a dislocated posterior tibial tendon in all of English literature.
Oh my God.
That is like, of course this would happen to Porzingis.
Yeah,
just the weirdest possible injury on a play that didn't even, he just jumped.
Well, yeah, it looked like he got kicked, as he was coming down, he got inadvertently kicked and it caused his leg to take this weird motion. And then of course he hits the ground and he does that thing with his leg where you're immediately something just happened there. He's moving it. And then he gets up and Doris pointed it out right away. I mean, everybody could see it, but Doris was like, no, something's wrong. Look at him. Something's wrong. And man, they tried to play it off after the game. Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. I'm sure they didn't envision he was going to have the 33rd case or whatever it was, whatever number you just said of whatever. And when the injury came up, I saw torn. That was I don't even know how to pronounce this. I've never seen this phrasing before in my life.
Imagine having to do it on the radio.
I butchered it. Yeah. So here's
what passed. He tore something in his leg, guys. I don't think he's playing.
Dr. Brian Sutterer has responded to the tweet by Shams, and he says the medial retinaculum. Is like it's like a seatbelt that keeps the tendons in place as they course around the inside of the ankle bone. There are 3 tendons that travel along the inside of the ankle, and that seatbelt keeps them secured in place. The posterior tibialis tendon is one of those tendons. So basically, there's a little band.
The seatbelt tore?
Yes.
Now his ligaments are just...
So
holding.
His ligaments are just sort of like,
that's
So I'm
terrifying.
I'm wondering if they can tape that thing up and throw him out there.
Right.
That happens, I think, a lot in the shoulder where things start to tear. You can, in a roundabout way, tape things back together to get through a game or two. Obviously, it doesn't work long term, but you can rig things up to
right.
I don't know how you do that. You can control a lot with this when it's your shoulder. You can't, you're really handicapping yourself if you're trying to control ligaments in your ankle moving around. I don't see this as a day-to-day thing. I don't see him. He's not playing again.
I would be shocked.
With a 2-0 lead. If Dallas wins tonight or tomorrow, the noise will be consistent. If Boston wins, you've just got to, Porzingis isn't playing. Porzingis isn't playing. This doesn't sound even remotely feasible to me. I'm curious, what are they even telling him to, do? What is the...
This feels like a surgery thing.
It feels like to me when something tears, that's what you have to go do. You have to go back in and surgically put it back together. But that's not always the case.
No.
So I guess things can like grow together. I don't know.
An ACL tear requires a replacement of the ACL.
Yes.
An MCL tear, the MCL grows back. So it depends on where it is and how it is in your body and what you actually need to have. Like it's very possible that this thing just grows back. It's the same thing with a grade 3 ankle sprain is a complete detachment of the ligament. Mm-hmm. It grows back together. Like a grade 2 is that the ligament has tears in it, but it's not detached. And a grade 1 is that you basically stretch the thing out. Mm-hmm. So that grade 2 will grow back together quicker than a grade 3, which is a complete detachment. But the detachment in the ankle will grow back.
So with the ankle, you in those grade 3s and up, you boot it, right? And you boot it to keep it in place. And that helps it grow back. So I assume Porzingis is at least got to be in a boot for now if this thing has any like chance to. The human body is fascinating.
It's
like
insane.
Think about the conversation we're having. If I tear a piece of paper, it's not going to grow back together no matter how long it sits there. Like that's always so fascinating.
And that you have these ligaments and your body's like, "All right, let's strap those in. We don't want those floating around." Come on, man.
It was like a stray ligament that was just like, "No, we're just here to protect you guys. You're good." You're good.
Wild. And then that your body, like our appendix, our body's like, actually, you know what? Don't need that anymore. That's still there. We're just not going to use it. It's just over there now.
Yeah.
What?
Also, you might want to get these 4 wisdom teeth out before it's too
late. Yeah, you're not going to need those anymore.
Yeah, get those out of there. It's going to be hell to get rid of them, but you're going to eat ice cream for a week and you'll be fine. Get them out of there.
I had a lot of mashed potatoes when I got my wisdom teeth pulled.
I ate ice cream and Vicodin.
Oh.
Yeah, it was not good. Like
I have one left.
Jeez. It was bad because I was doing...
Sounds like a Friday night in college, am I right?
I was on my first run at KSFM, and I think I had just come back from my honeymoon, and I had to get my teeth pulled. And so I didn't want to take that much time off. I didn't want to take time off, period. I took the day that they got pulled off. And I went back the next day.
Oof.
But I was getting my degree. I was getting my degree at the time, too. So that night it was, okay, I can't take this medicine because I don't want to feel groggy.
Mm-hmm.
I got to finish these assignments. Woo! When I found out what that medicine was covering up, Lord, I didn't miss a serving. I doubled up on servings. I just made sure. How many hours has it been? It says take 2 every 4. You know what? I think it's only been 2 hours. Take another one just in case because I'm not feeling that ever again.
Oh.
And that was a solid, man, 4 days.
Yeah.
And then it was, and I hated the way that stuff made me feel, but I hated the pain.
Dude,
I hated the pain so much more.
Awful.
That I'm doing that KSFM show with a towel on my shoulder. Because as I talk, I'm just slobbering, right? Because it's just like, I can't, it's not pretty. And my face is swollen. Thank God, like, streams weren't a thing then.
Oh, yeah.
Tough look. Tough look for your boy.
That's all right, though.
Tough look for your
boy. I found out that Vicodin does nothing for me when I got my wisdom teeth pulled.
Interesting. Oh,
so I was just slamming ibuprofen.
Oh,
just handfuls. Yeah, it was bad. It was a tough go for 16-year-old Kyle.
So painful.
And the A's, they finally made the ALCS that year. Because they lost in the ALDS all those years from like 2001 through 2003 or 4. And they made the ALCS. I didn't get to go to any games, and I had to watch them get swept by the Tigers while my face is all swollen. So anyways, what do you guys have coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
I don't know, man.
Perfect.
I don't know.
I think I take down 3 glizzies.
Well, not that. I guarantee you, not that. We'll probably talk a lot about the war between Woj and Shams.
That's the best thing in sports
and
right
how
now.
Everyone looks dumb right now.
It's insane.
It's wild.
I'm really incredible. Looking forward to that. D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We are back with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.